Creating Community with Amanda Esau and Jim Wang. And this is episode 28 on Maiella Manassian's Tiny Climate Challenge podcast.
I'm Maiella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Maiella Manassian, and I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. Today, I'm super excited because I'm joined by not one, but two guests. They're supposed to be challengers, but I really consider them to be more experts.
Challengers?
Yeah, because I had a guest expert that was Joan Kling, and then I invited you guys on to be my guest challengers. And what I invited you on to talk about was the importance of creating community. So I want to say welcome to Jim Wang here in the studio with me. And I also want to say welcome to Amanda Esau, who I've never met before today, but I'm really excited to dive into this conversation with her because Jim introduced us. I'm meeting you now for the first time through Jim because you guys had a very serendipitous meeting on an airplane. So why don't you both introduce yourselves and tell us how this meeting came about?
Okay. It was actually quite amazing. It's serendipitous because neither of us chose our seats, but we were both seated at the back of the bus, headed from San Diego to Houston. And somehow we started chatting and I think we kind of hit it off and made the flight a lot shorter.
Yeah. So whenever I sat in the back of the plane, I was by myself because I had gone to San Diego with a friend, but I was going back by myself. And I always like to have someone to chat with on the plane because I get extremely nervous. But I turned to the left and I don't even know how our conversation started, but I found out you're a geophysicist and that you're involved in the eco-sustainability peeps, which you invited me to. And I've really enjoyed following the email thread. And then we started talking about climate change, we were talking a lot about community and being in sound bubbles within our own communities and trying to overcome those in order to make big changes in climate change and beyond. So it was very, very pleasant meeting you.
Like you said, serendipitous and just worked out so well, totally unplanned, totally by chance. But I think that's how communities are built, is by serendipity. So I don't want to get ahead of
No, I think that's a great point. And just by a willingness to reach out to connect with other folks, I think a lot, oftentimes we're afraid or too scared, or we just prefer, you know, kind of being on our own. But I think, and what I'd like to discuss a little bit more is, you know, we've all just gone through this worldwide pandemic and it's affected each of us in different ways. For me personally, I just grew to appreciate the communities that I've been a part of that much more because we have all been forced apart from one another and we've had to find really creative ways of coming together. So I'd like to explore all of that. But before we do, I was hoping you each could give a little bit more on your background so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. So why don't you go ahead, Jim?
Okay. My name's Jim Wang. I have a background in electrical engineering and geophysics and then environmentalism. So I served on my city's environmental commission for several years. And since then, I've been really concerned about our climate. So I've been basically doing volunteer work in that area.
And Jim is being very humble over here, but he is quite the eco champion. I'm very honored to know you and to be friends with you and to be in a community with you.
I should mention that I also met Maiella several years ago because she's an environmental scientist for our city. We had quite a few things to discuss and we started meeting, well, regularly. And so regularly we started inviting friends and that's how we started our eco-sustainability peeps.
Yes. So,
we'll talk you guys about have that a later, lot so. Of friends.
Yeah. I think it
I
was
see that email thread.
We had a lot of mutual complaints and that's what brought us together. And that's okay. Sometimes that's how community is formed too. So Amanda, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I'm 23 and I'm from Texas. I got my bachelor's degree in chemistry and biochemistry, and I recently started a PhD program at the College of Medicine at Texas A&M. And I study neuroscience, specifically drugs of addiction and the striatum, which is a part of the brain that controls your voluntary movement.
Wow.
That's pretty much all I have to say about my background in academics.
That's amazing. So impressive for somebody such a young age.
Thank you.
Like when I meet folks like yourself, I become like, okay, we're going to be okay. Like we're handing things off to our younger generations here. And sometimes when we consider how badly we messed it up, I think there's some concern like, oh no, but when I meet folks like yourself, I just go, all right, I think we're going to be okay.
Thank you for saying that. That's something that if I could just add really quickly, something that I really enjoyed about my conversation meeting Jim is that I'm a very young person, and a lot of people, it's apparent in conversations, but when I spoke with Jim, he treated me as an equal from the beginning. He didn't act like he knew more than me, even though he obviously does. And we were able to just start the conversation and see where it led. And it didn't feel like anything was off limits because of my, younger stature or anything. I just really enjoyed that. And I think that's a really important part of starting conversations.
I don't think I know more than you do, Amanda. I'm not in a PhD program. I'm not in neuroscience. So I think you're being, maybe a little too modest, but that's not a fault.
And actually it touches on this, leadership, because my guest expert was introducing the topic of leadership, and her challenge that she threw out to us was focused on creating community. But it reminds me of one of the leadership philosophies, I guess, is that, no one of us is smarter than all of us. That's what I think about when I interact with Jim, is that he sees the value in building community and how each of us has something unique and interesting and smart to share. And he's very curious, right? So he wants, I think that's what I really enjoy. And one of the many things that I enjoy and love about you is how you bring us all together for those reasons.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, part of being a community is that everyone has something to contribute and everyone respects that.
Yes.
So that is what is the synergy, how synergy from community comes from, is everyone contributes a little bit. Some people contribute a lot, but everyone has something to contribute.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I don't know if I made it explicit in my last episode, but I truly do believe that how we show up in the world is just as important as the work that we do. And so that's why I wanted to talk about the importance of leadership on my podcast. And I think a lot of people are like, might be somewhat confused going like, well, what does that have to do with environmentalism? Part of being a leader is bringing people together and helping to create community and helping to create change around the things that you care and are concerned about. So
inviting someone into your group, with me.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us about some of the communities that you're a part of?
So specifically the graduate student organization at my school, it's centered around bringing all the students together that are in the medical sciences program. And in the future, I really hope to be involved in outreach in the community. So my research is over drug and alcohol addiction, specifically the opioid crisis and alcoholism. And I would be really interested in the future in actually reaching out to those communities that are affected by it. And, science communication is such an important thing. And I really appreciate your podcast because it conveys to the public some really, abstract, maybe some higher level thinking problems that a lot of people feel are not accessible. And so in the future, I'd like to do a lot more outreach in order to convey the things that I find in the lab with the public. But the only solid organization that I'm involved in right now in my program would be the GSO. And we just focus on bringing all the students together because you can't finish a graduate program by yourself. It takes community, which is a really important part of graduating with a PhD.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all been there. And at every graduation I've had, I know I've had a long list of people to thank for helping me get across the finish line. So kudos to you. And how much longer until you graduate?
Oh, yeah. So this was my first year. So it could be another 4 to 5.5 years. That's the average time that it takes to complete the program.
Oh, that's right. Because you're in a PhD program.
Mm-hmm. And I came in without a master's. So it'll take the longer end of the time span.
I suspect that as the years progress, you'll be involved in many professional organizations in the biomedical field, which you're probably already familiar with because you read many papers from them. But I know that in geophysics, you know, there's a American Geophysical Union, AGU, and the Seismological Society of America. And in the medical field, there's probably hundreds of them for each specialty. I'm sure you'll get involved with those if you're not already, too.
Yes.
I love that you mentioned that, Jim, because a lot of times people don't know how to get started. You know, they know that they care about an issue, but they may look around in their community and see that maybe there isn't something that quite addresses what they care about. So why don't we talk about that? So the way I look at it is you cannot find existing community or you can create community. And I think a lot of people don't recognize that. They just look around and they go, oh, there isn't somebody that's doing what I'm interested in. So therefore it doesn't exist. And I guess there's nothing for me to get involved. So let's talk about the ESP, Jim, because that was something that we created. It didn't exist before. It was the Eco-Sustainability Professionals is our official name, but we do like to call ourselves the ESP, Eco Peeps. So let's talk about how that started.
Well, we're talking about how things start organically, spontaneously, and serendipitously. And I think ESP checks all those boxes. Just meeting informally and then deciding to make it more and more regular as we invited more and more friends because we needed their expertise. Like I think Ashley was the first one invited because she knew about water, I think. Well, of course, we wanted to know about water at that time.
Yes.
That's how she started. But you remember as much as I do about the cockroach because that was 5 years ago, 2016,
yeah.
I think. So
I was working for a local government and getting really frustrated that personally feeling like we weren't doing enough. And I think Jim was too, because he's also on an environmental commission and feeling like, you know, there's more that we could be doing. But, and I think this is really important for people to know because we all live in communities, we all live in cities, and we all have the opportunity to help shape local policy and decision-making, whether we know it or not, or whether we think about it or not. But so we wanted to get more folks engaged because we felt like if there was more people speaking up, more people informed and speaking up about these issues that we care about, then we can make a greater impact and quicker. It was through inviting friends and creating this community of like-minded people that we were able to develop this group. A lot of times people think like you have to have bylaws and you have to like create this formal structure and board of directors and all, you know, like sometimes that's how people think of a community like ours, like that it's like has to be run like a organization or some type of like a nonprofit. No, it's just friends coming together every other week for lunch is how we set it up. You can't, it doesn't get any easier than that. Yes. And then you just talk about what you love and what you care about and how, and then we would always, you know, ask one another what we could do to support each other in that effort.
Issues at that time were community choice energy, which was just starting, and updating our climate action plan. And so as of now, 5 years from then, we have community choice energy, San Diego Community Power, which is the second largest one in California. And we've updated our climate action plan, so it's top-ranked plan in the county.
And it's committed to 100% renewable energy.
And it's legally binding, CEQA qualified. CEQA is California Environmental
Quality.
You should know this, you're an environmental scientist.
Well, I say high five to all those things that we were able to accomplish. Just a small but feisty and mighty eco-sustainability teams, conspirators. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, and branching out by the day.
And not only that, but we've reached out to other folks like yourself, Amanda, who don't even live here in this community, but we've invited you to be a part of the Eco Peeps. So what is it that interests you in being connected and being a part of this group?
First of all, what grabbed me was it goes back to a point that you just said earlier about getting around people and just talking about what you love and what you care about. And I think the fact that Jim and I were able to talk about, you know, what we both love and care about and that it happened to be environmental sustainability, and I was invited to be in this group, it just seemed, first of all, it was a very welcoming invitation. And since joining, I've seen you guys have gone up against some people in legislature and gone to meetings and town hall meetings. I'm just watching from afar being in Texas. Obviously, you're not going to Texan town hall meetings or anything, city council meetings, but I just really want to bring that kind of atmosphere and environment to my everyday circles. Being able to sit with someone on a plane, find out about an organization that I could be involved with, however powerful the network connection may be, I invite it into my life because it's something that somebody cares about. And I find that that holds a lot of value with me. And then beyond that, finding that it is actually something that I do care about. So the fact that Jim was able to talk to me about something he cares about, and I also value the same thing. That really, that was the big draw into Eco-Sustainability Peeps.
Did you know you were going to be going international now with Eco-Sustainability Peeps?
Well, interstate, you mean, but
no. Well, no, we have listeners all over the world who could be joining after this.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
My bad. So one of the nice features about Eco-Sustainability Peeps, ESP, is that it's not a professional organization, doesn't have bylaws, it doesn't even have an agenda for each meeting, it's completely open. And that's an opportunity for serendipitous connections. So if you don't have agenda, if you don't have a scheduled presentation, it's entirely networking and chatting, then that's how things happen, how ideas arise. That happened just 2 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly how it started, but we were talking with Marie about your podcast actually, and how that's so inspirational and what we can do about that. And so that gave her the idea. First of all, she says she's introverted, but I don't think that's true because when she talks, she's very animated and she's very cheerful.
We can fake it really well.
Yes, we can. I was going to add to that point. I may be considered an extroverted introvert.
I can sort of believe you because I don't think either of you are more introverted than I am, but let's not get off topic.
That aside, yes.
Let's not get off topic. So anyway, so we're brainstorming with Marie online with no preparation because no one knew we were going to talk about this. And now she's starting a YouTube channel, Anna and her mama, and they're going to be talking about climate. And Anna is, it's her little dog.
Oh, I love little, that.
Her little dog, her name is, but she's 2 pounds. And she's, they're having this discussion. Of course, Anna is not talking. She has thought bubbles asking mama questions about climate change. So the target audience is like tweens or, you know, yeah, younger people. And it's meant to be just 30 seconds to a minute each session.
Yeah. And that's so great.
Yeah. So that's just getting started. I mean, if I knew the channel, I'd show you it, but.
You know what? We can put it in the show notes of this podcast so that after this podcast episode airs, people can find it.
Okay. She only has one session shot so far.
We got to start somewhere.
Yeah. She's working on the details. She got the fusion in the video editor worked out. That took a while to learn, but I look forward to it because she's going to do a great job.
I love it. So let's talk about other types of communities because, you know, we've talked about ones that you can create. And then obviously there's the ones that already exist. So when you think of other communities, Amanda, ones that you mentioned you're part of an academic community. What other types of community come to mind for you?
Well, being at the College of Medicine, there's a lot of organizations and communities for the medical students and the nursing students. And A&M is a pretty big campus with a vet school. We have the veterinarian students. But there is one that I'm partially involved in, and mostly it has to do with my time right now, because as a first year student, we're still swamped with classes and just beginning our thesis project, which requires a lot of preliminary data. So I think in the coming years, there's this organization called the Opioid Task Force, which reaches out with addicts in the area to provide treatment with them and counseling services. And I have the opportunity to be involved in that soon. So organizations involving the medical students in the area, which I think it's very important for the bench and the bedside to merge. And that's just the term that we use in science research. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the bench is in the lab and the bedside is bringing those concepts to the patients in the hospital. And oftentimes there's a huge delay of the flow of that information from the researchers in the lab to the medical students. And I just want to be involved in both of those areas to, you know, make sure that my information is able to be perceived by the public.
That's fantastic. Just curious, Jim, what about you? What other community groups are you involved with?
Interested in film and video. So there is a project called the 48-Hour Film Project, which actually did my hands in because that would be a really intense experience trying to write the screenplay for a film, shoot it and edit it and release it in 48 hours.
I've heard of this. It's so fun. I actually had a friend who did it. It was exhausting. He said he didn't sleep for 2 days. But
that's right. You don't sleep for 48 hours. But the films that they come out with, they're like 6 or 7 minutes long. But they actually are amazing that people can write and direct and get the actors and all that. Having everything in 48 hours. I'm tempted to, but...
I'm keeping my eyes peeled for that release.
Yeah.
Definitely tell us if you drop it.
Yeah, you can just go to 48hourfilmproject.org and see their past films. Every year they have 20, 30, maybe 100 films. And they only take 6 or 7 minutes to watch, but they are quite amazing how they do it.
I think that sounds so fun. I also just want to point out that for folks who, you know, are trying to find, maybe you're new to an area, you just moved, or maybe your interests have changed and all of a sudden you become enlightened about environmentalism, activism, or climate change, and you want to find other like-minded folks, start talking to people, start telling people what you're passionate about, what you're interested in, and you will find, like Jim and Amanda had on a plane conversation, that there are groups that are always welcoming and wanting to invite you and hoping that you'll get involved with their community. I know for me personally, before we co-founded the Eco-Sustainability Peeps, I was involved with nonprofit organizations, local ones here in San Diego, but also national ones. So Climate Action Campaign comes to mind. I was involved with the local chapter of the Sierra Club as well. There's just so many different. I was also for a while board president of I Love a Clean San Diego, another San Diego local group. So there's so many different nonprofit organizations that are always looking for people to help get involved. I also identify as a woman. And, you know, there's groups that are geared towards female scientists as well. So I was a part of it's called AWI, the Association of Women, Water, Energy, and the Environment, which I would highly recommend. And they may only be California. I know for sure they are California, but I don't know that they have any chapters outside. But it's just, I found all this out through connecting with and networking with other professionals and other people who care about the things that I do. So there is a community out there for you, whether you create it or whether you find one. I just want to encourage people to, you know, keep their eyes peeled and their ears open and to just stay connected with people and friends who want to support you and help you with whatever it is that you are passionate about.
Or strangers.
Yes. Strangers are just friends that you haven't met yet.
Absolutely. And I'm just so grateful to have met Jim. I mean, our conversation was very interesting. And yeah, going back, I wanted to add that we do actually have a woman in STEM and a woman in science and engineering. So that's WISE Women. I really enjoy being a part of that as well. I'm a very, very new member. Like I said, just leaving my first year of grad school. But I was trying to think of some extra organizations. I apologize.
No, that's okay. And feel free to throw them out as we continue with our conversation. And also maybe even if you can send me a list afterwards, after we wrap up today, and I can include them in my show notes as well.
Perfect.
Any other organizations you'd like to speak to or about?
Well, if I could
community groups
take a little tangent, you know, I was thinking about actually non-organized communities. Community can mean basically the city you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a community with your neighbors or other residents of your city. And the best way of building those communities is sort of across the line with environmentalism is to provide the opportunity for meeting other people. One example is the difference between old Encinitas and new Encinitas. Now, old Encinitas was basically built on the way the city was built in early 1900s. So storefronts are 20 feet long, there's wide sidewalk. It's meant for walking, it's built on a people scale. Whereas new Encinitas is kind of built, I'm guessing in the most of the 90s and early 2000s, it's built on car scale. So the main road in new Encinitas is 6 lanes. And then on either side, there's strip malls with huge parking lots. And you see hardly any pedestrians there because it's a very unpleasant place to, not a very pleasant place to walk. So your chances of meeting people in new Encinitas, I believe, are much smaller than in old Encinitas, where you might just run to your neighbor walking down the street or eating at a sidewalk cafe. So that is an example, I think, where you have to foster the building of communities. And that's by letting people meet each other, well, serendipitously. You know, they're not planning on meeting each other, but they happen to see each other. But that's how you build community, is building face-to-face connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really fortunate. I live in Mexico right now, and I live in the center of town. So everything is really close and walkable. And whenever I leave, and our community is, it's actually the size of Encinitas, but I swear to you, I meet somebody I know like everywhere I go. And so people who are with me, who are new, like coming to visit, they say, oh my gosh, you know everybody. And part of it is, part of it is that I'm just, there's a Spanish word for it. It's called chismosa. It's called nosy. And I just say, well, I make it my business to know everybody's business, not in a nefarious way, but just because I like to connect with people, get to know people and want to help and meet people and just create, you know, I love making friends. But also it's just because the town, like it's just, it's, everyone is so, closely situated to one another. It's a walkable scale. It's a people scale that it's so easy to just run into somebody that you know.
College campuses are people scale too.
And I'm in the College of Medicine, which is actually completely separate from the main campus. So the College of Medicine is just a building and it's about 15 to 20 minutes away from the main campus. If you're at the College of Medicine, you're just there for one purpose at that one building. And it's very isolated from the rest of the city and any type of restaurant or fun things to do, pretty far out of the way. It's not really possible to walk anywhere here in College Station unless you're right on main campus or if you're just walking somewhere like half a block down. But everything is very spread out in Texas. So we have a lot of land, a lot of highways. So you really need a car to get where you're going.
The metric I like to use is when you go there, how many people do you see walking around? So that's the difference between old Encinitas and new Encinitas. Your old Encinitas is people scale. So it's a walkable community, but new Encinitas, not so much.
The most people that I saw gathered out in front of the College of Medicine was when we just had a fire alarm go off the other day. So, and even then there were way less people outside than I expected, but you see all of these cars parked out in the parking lot, but I just never really see people walking, maybe one or two people. Like the graduate student organization that I mentioned at the beginning does a great job of trying to bring all of the medical or the PhD students together. But I would really love to see some community between the PhDs and the med schools and the nursing students as well. I think that would be really important because, as I mentioned, the bench to bedside information flow is not where it should be.
Well, if you see a need.
I was just going to say,
we're start nudging you.
Yes, sounds like somebody might be starting a new community of their own. That's great.
Actually, I've been considering it lately. Absolutely. And we actually just mentioned it at this, it was this alcohol addiction research retreat for this group of researchers at my school. It was important because we talked about one of the main things we wanted to do was get the med students involved in the conversation and like kind of break down those walls because alcoholism is a huge problem in our country. And a lot of doctors just will not diagnose it and treat it. So how do we have PhDs and medical students coming out of the same schools? And one group has this load of information and then the other group has a completely different load. And I hope it doesn't sound like I'm being negative towards medical students. I'm not at all. It's just we're taught so differently in the same building.
Interesting.
You're thinking there might be some opportunity for collaboration between scientists and medical students. Because you are complementary in many respects, and that's how synergy forms. I really think that since you see this need, I'm sure there are other people who feel the same way. And if you just meet with one other person, then that's how things start, you know, things snowball. Well, you heard how ESP grew, you know, it started very informally. And you do the same thing. I just meet someone for lunch and discuss the problem and whether they see it the same way. And maybe it will, maybe it won't, no promises, but it's worth a try. That's how things start.
Yeah. And another suggestion that just came to mind is, you know, another type of community that one can form, although it does have its limitations. And we can talk about the pros and cons if you want to, online communities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could start a social media community, a community centered around social media to get folks' attention. But then obviously, you know, Jim and I are big proponents of coming together in person. But how you kind of keep people informed and keep the momentum going can all happen in an online forum if you wanted to. So, and I always recommend and suggest that people look for community online. They don't know where to go to start with. Like me personally, when I got to Mexico, yes, again, I recognize the importance of in-person connection, but during COVID times, that's a little bit more difficult to do. So I started a group called Pátzcuaro Sustentable because that's the city that I live in. And so it's all about sustainable Pátzcuaro. And so just sharing ideas on social media of things that we could do to become more sustainable, but also highlighting and celebrating businesses and members of our community that are doing sustainable things so that people can learn and get inspired from one another. So
that's a really important point.
Yeah. One other topic that I was hoping to touch on was the importance of not only finding community or creating community, but just talking about the effort level, right? Because some people are passively involved in their communities and other people more actively involved. And sometimes we fluctuate. Sometimes we go from being passive to active and sometimes from active to passive on any given day, at any given moment, depending on the topic and, you know, what our level of interest is and what resources we have available.
I think the most important thing, and this maybe requires zero effort at all, is a genuine interest in what other people have going on, even if their ideas are different from yours, even if you maybe have the exact opposite opinions. But if both part an interest in what the other person is saying, even if it's a different idea, then you can either come to a consensus or walk away with an extra perspective that you didn't have before. And I know this is common knowledge, but I think it is the most important thing to starting community is having a genuine connection with people. And that takes effort, but what doesn't take effort is genuinely caring for the endeavors of the people around you and seeing what comes of that once you just strike a conversation. My effort level, though, if just really quickly, I would consider myself more of a passive in community, and I always have been in terms of, like, I never joined the student government at my school. I was always very, very much my nose in a book, focused on my studies. But as I'm getting older and as I realize that my work has bigger implications in translational science, I'm looking and searching for opportunities to get out in my community and speak with people like Jim on the plane about finding ways to make a difference in the world.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I want to just let all of our listeners know how important each of our voices are and how important it is to share our voices with the world, because we all have our own expertise and life experiences that is important that we share with others. So it's just, as you said, so that we can, you know, understand one another, so that we can develop more empathy for each other, so that we can learn to live with each other on this planet in harmony and in peace, right? Thank you. And I do want to encourage everyone to raise their voice and share their voice with your community, with the world, whenever and wherever possible.
Let me say that I agree with you 100%. And I think it's nothing to apologize about being passive, because I think communities really should start growing organically. It should be no effort at all. Just as me and you, Amanda, on the plane, that was not an effort. It's not like I had to do homework to figure out what I'm going to talk to, what I'm going to say about. Same with starting our ESP group. That didn't take any homework. It was entirely organic.
Eating lunch with friends.
Correct. You know? So it's we're talking about community, not a professional organization. There's a big difference there.
There is a place and a role for everybody. Even if you're passively involved in that, in whatever community you're involved with, that's an important role to take when you're feeling as an individual, when you're feeling like you're wanting to take more responsibility or you're ready for more responsibility and you want to take an active role. I think that's also obviously a very important, you know, role to be in. So I encourage everybody, you know, I'm also involved with an international organization called Climate Reality Project, where we train climate reality leaders worldwide. And one of the main things, acts of leadership that we ask trained leaders to go out and do after they're trained, former Vice President Al Gore, is to give a climate presentation to their community. And again, your community can be something as intimate as your family, or it can be a faith group, or it can be business groups, or it can be city hall, you know, whatever, wherever you want, you feel comfortable speaking up. That is one of the main expectations, but there are a lot of people who, you know, consider themselves to be a little bit more shy when it comes to public speaking, and they don't always feel comfortable taking that on. And so what I say to them is, Well, what is it that you are an expert at? What is it that you really feel good about? Maybe it's not public speaking, and that's okay. Maybe you're not ready right now to do that, but maybe you're a really good writer. So, you know, maybe you would like to write an op-ed. Maybe you would like to, maybe that's too much to ask right now. So maybe you would just like to write an email to your city council member and say, this is what I care about. Is there something that we can do to address this? So there's always other things that people can do that don't require them to be standing out in front of an audience of, you know, hundreds of people. And so that's why I say, like, whether you're passively involved or actively involved, there is a place for all of that. And we welcome you. Like, please come get involved. And when you're ready, you'll decide, you know, what is best for you. And I know that you'll be great at it.
I really like that point. Lean into your strengths and get involved in whatever capacity you're best at. Because then, like Jim said, it shouldn't take any effort. You're already really good at that and you're really passionate about it. And so really, it shouldn't take any effort to get the word out and to get more people involved, because they'll see that it really doesn't take effort. It's just doing what you enjoy with good intentions and some foresight into the consequences in the future, what you're doing.
Exactly. Everyone can contribute, maybe in different ways. They have different interests, different expertise, but that's why it takes everyone.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Thank you, both of you. This is fantastic. Is there anything else as we wrap up here that you'd like to mention on that maybe we didn't cover just yet, or something that you want to expand upon as it relates to this topic of creating community?
Well, I could mention that I think communities are really important to cities, vibrant cities. And so it'd be great if city governments, city councils could recognize that and build the infrastructure that fosters good communities, letting people meet each other.
Don't you think every city should have an EcoPeeps group?
Absolutely. And they're so easy to form.
Yeah. What do you think, Amanda?
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. Not that I expect to make any huge leaps and bounds by myself, but if everyone has a mindset that every single person they meet has the potential to teach them something new, it's one of the most important mottos that I live by. Like, every single person that I meet has the potential to teach me something. And making real change starts with these little interactions that you have on a plane or at the park, at a restaurant, just in any way that you can reach out to other members in your community or in communities in different states. Everything has the potential to teach me something about the world that I live in. As a scientist, that's something that I value quite a lot.
So articulately stated. Thank you so much. I think what we've realized here is what we've recognized here is how interconnected we all are. And so I just want to say welcome again to both of you. You know, it's important, I think, that we every day that we recognize how lucky we are, how blessed we are to have the opportunity to do the things that we love and care about. And so it's important to greet each moment with that appreciation. So welcome again to Eco Peeps, and thank you for all of everything that you do, Jim. It's like just incredible to me. And Amanda, thank you for joining us on this journey and getting involved. I think let's close out with, I propose doing this little spontaneous improvisation here about talking about the different types of communities that we can create or are involved with. So what I'd like to propose is I'm going to start off with a word, and then we'll just go like roundtable or popcorn style, whatever comes to mind, so that folks know that A, creating community can be fun and funny, but B, we'll mention some communities that folks had not considered or thought about before. So when I think of community, I think of community meetings.
Connections.
Friends. Friends.
Okay. I think of community choice. Energy. Community choice energy. That's what I'm talking about.
Networking.
Outreach.
Community tables.
Personal relations.
Festival.
Community gardens.
Friendship.
Brainstorming. Am I playing this right?
Yeah. Yes. So this is all part of creating community. Let's see.
Go ahead. Synergy.
Synergy. Yes.
Helping.
Collaboration.
Creativity. Did we say that one?
Brainstorming. Oh, someone say that one?
No.
Okay, let's see. Innovation is good.
Yeah, common knowledge, innovation.
Combining knowledge.
Yeah, community resources.
Collaboration.
Impact.
That's a good one, impact.
Teamwork. Multiplicity.
This is a good mental exercise. What did you
say? I know. You said multiplicity.
Multiplicity. Spontaneous meanings.
Yeah. How about like smarter living? Sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Eco-sustainability.
Yeah.
Peeps.
Eco-sustainability peeps.
So many great advantages to forming community. I think we're good.
Who could have thought of all those names on their own? So we did collaboratively. Thanks, team. Yes.
Yeah, here, high five.
Teamwork.
And high five. Woo, Amanda.
Thank you for this game. That was interesting. You guys had some words that I didn't associate with community at first.
Yeah, we had no idea what was going to come out of that, but that's how it works.
Well, there wasn't a lot of thought involved. So.
Well, any listeners that are, you know, psychologists can psychoanalyze us, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just don't bring out the ink spots.
Rorschach test.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Maiella Manassian, your host of Tiny Climate Challenge Podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Sending you all lots of eco love and hoping that you find your community out there. Take care. Bye.
Now. For the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.